I first met Seth and Declan about a decade ago, and one of the things that stood out to me at the time was how enthusiastic they were to support businesses. Over the years, they've continued to expand into other areas of law, but they've still remained true to this core focus of their business. Practicing law is almost as American as apple pie, especially when you think about the fact that the most common profession among the founding fathers, former presidents, and most Congresses is actually being an attorney. Knowing this helps to make statistics like the fact that there are 20 times more attorneys per capita in D.C. than there are in Virginia help to make sense. So why is it that Seth and Declan choose to practice here? And what helps their firm to stand out from the crowd? We'll be discussing these topics and more as we hope you enjoyed today's episode.
You're listening to the Northern Virginia Business Podcast. My name is Jessica Dubois.
And I'm Derek Wynn. Here, we chronicle the stories of successful business owners and executives who stand out from the crowd.
Whether you're driven by purpose or profit, tune in to learn how these leaders have built successful businesses,
helping to shape the landscape of Northern Virginia.
Welcome, Seth. Welcome, Declan. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Great. Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Hey, we really appreciate you having you on the show today. Thank you for your time. You know, one of the big things I wanted to start with is, you know, starting with where we are today and where the firm is today. You want us to tell us just a little bit about where your practice is today in the current environment?
Sure. So, well, thanks for having us. We're really excited to be here. You know, as a mid-sized business law firm here in Northern Virginia, we really see ourselves in somewhat of a unique spot because, of course, we're living in an unprecedented and historic moment in our country, which includes, of course, being available to try to provide some advice and consult to businesses and business leaders. And where we find ourselves today is working with our clients, and including companies and executives that are coming on board with us recently, to help them navigate through the COVID crisis, and to help them, as we like to say, turn the lights back up, going back into a position where instead of being reactive and waiting for this to pass, to be proactive and really lean forward to revenue growth and business success. So we see ourselves and on a daily basis are working with our clients in a variety of ways to help them lean forward and to help them plow through this crisis and grow their business. So it's a challenging time, but I think it's an exciting time with a lot of opportunities that lie ahead.
Let me just pause on that for a second, Seth, because, you know, you're a great example of this. I mean, we're here in Northern Virginia, right? But yet, you know, you probably work with others like you all across the country, and I see you on TV, right? So let me ask you this question, like, what kinds of considerations does a business have in Northern Virginia today? And how is that maybe different from other places across the country?
Well, I think the most important thing is to blend the technical with the practical. What I mean by that is we have a lot of new rules and regs that are floating around and literally changing by the week, if not the day. And it's critical to know what the rules of the game are. But it's also critical to be practical and to have a business-friendly environment where companies are working with their staff and their HR resources to make sure that we're working together as a team. COVID recovery is a team sport, and it can't be done didactically or separately. So really, what we're trying to do is to, through a number of platforms, not only in terms of direct engagement, but with through podcasting in our studio and covering some of the other issues, either on the air through broadcast television, and Declan also covering a variety of things in radio and print media to try to help lead forward with those sorts of things. And it's really more important than ever to make sure that you're relevant to the client and that you're really giving the right practical solution to real everyday problems.
Yeah, and I would just add, I mean, it is critical. What we've seen is you really have to pivot as business lawyers. You really have to pivot in terms of what's relevant. As Seth said, that word is could not be overused in terms of what your clients need right now. So as an employment lawyer, you know, for me to be talking to my clients about discrimination cases or maybe wage and hour cases, when really over the last 3 months, they've just been looking for survival. And so did I know a whole lot about the Small Business Administration, you know, lenders, you know, lending regulations and the PPP? No, but I mean, that's what our clients look to us as trusted advisors to be. And so we had to pivot and really become mini experts in those so that we can advise our clients. So that's what this has taught us is, you know, it really has separated out those attorneys and those legal advisors and other advisors in terms of who's going to be relevant to my business when I need them most. They're not going to forget who was with them and got them through or helped get them through these last 3 months. And hopefully it's not many, many more months, but it's going to keep lasting, you know, for a while.
When we've talked about pivoting during a time of crisis, and you've had to kind of keep up with the times and new laws, new regulations, but you've also branched out your practice into different areas. So how do you continue to do this over the years while being smart and controlled about it?
Yeah, I mean, we're both big fans of, you know, the Jim Collins Good to Great, you know, kind of the Bible of the business world. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, in that book, it's sort of a real come down for entrepreneurs, because really what that book tells you is be patient, stay the course, you know, sort of the hedgehog principle of, you know, don't get outside of your wheelhouse. And so we've always tried to stay since we formed the firm. We've worked together for the last 20 years. We've had the firm for the last 10 years. This is our 10-year anniversary. And we've really grown it. I mean, from, you know, really kind of quadrupled in size in that period of time. But we've always stayed with business law related stuff. So we didn't chase the latest and the greatest of, you know, here's a trend that's going on in the legal world. Let's chase that. No, we've always stayed. And it sounds boring, but that's what that book says. You know, if you stay plotting, you stay consistent, you're going to have success and you're going to make it through tough times.
Yeah, and I would just add to that and say that as you're growing a business, and a law firm is very comparable to many other different kinds of businesses, what's the latest technology and what's the latest platform? So when we started our business about 10 years ago here, the world of technology and digital communications was different than it is today. And I'm sure it'll be different 5 years into the future. But as time went on, we realized that there are some things that we needed to do to build out from the core. So from a practice standpoint, we have developed an intellectual property practice that works with companies in the digital space, with cloud computing and licensing and so forth. But also at a practical level, even outside of the practice areas, to have our own infrastructure in place here to be able to have a direct connect with digital media. So we're actually right now sitting in our podcast studio. We have a broadcast and podcast studio right here in our firm in Tysons. And we have a variety of programming here. We've done different kinds of podcast programming. I've done spots with Fox Business Network here. And, you know, it's about staying relevant, but also staying connected so that you can continue to deliver what is helpful to the clients and to drive it forward in a very relevant and very concise way.
Yeah, this podcast studio has been really great. In fact, you know, just before we came in here, it's interesting how many people use this and how we're able to serve our clients in addition to business law. And it actually is part of business law. We have a sports and entertainment law practice where we do the business side of that for, you know, very name recognition clients. In fact, a former Redskin legend just left here. I'll keep his name out of it, but just left. Sitting right over there in the chair, and he was doing some media stuff with Todd Castleberry here for the BL Media Group. And so it's really amazing how this last year when we were building this podcast studio, if I'm being 100% candid, I probably was like, wow, we're putting a lot of money into this. Is this going to get used, or is this going to be the shiny toy in the corner that gets a little dusty? And I will say this has been an absolute game changer, particularly in this world of remote work where we're able to really connect with people on a very high quality way.
And to help our clients do that too, because a lot of our clients want to come in here and provide their own unique programming through our media division to help with unique programming. We have our own pre- and post-production facility and staff. So long story short, we think that, you know, it's important to be able to provide these services, and especially in the Northern Virginia area, which I know is a focus of your programming, because there's just so much going on in this region right now, and it's just really exciting to be here.
Well, and it's different for any company to have a podcast studio. And I see how active you are all on Facebook Live, webinars. So like, what initially started this idea to have a studio? Because it's very different.
Well, I think it was really just kind of a natural outgrowth of what we're already doing. We've both been working with the regional and national media and different outlets over the last several years. And from my standpoint, I go on regional and national television networks to talk about business law and business trends and the Supreme Court and so forth. And the more that I was going in and out of studios, I realized that a lot of the technology that's being used, especially these days, are things that we can implement right here. And we had already started working with an expert in digital and radio communications, Todd Castleberry. And we decided that we wanted to build out our own studio and really grab the bull by the horns and own digital production. So in addition to other network television work that we do, such as producing national television programs, such as the McLaughlin Group, now we have a studio here. So it's really, we view it as just kind of the natural outgrowth of what our other areas of focus have been over the recent years.
Let me just ask a question about that, Seth, because I remember seeing you the first time on TV and I'm like, how did it all happen? So do you want to tell us how that happened the first time?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, it's funny because it really happened completely by accident. We were actually at our old firm in Courthouse Plaza a good 14 plus years ago. And I was just sitting at my desk in Courthouse Plaza, minding my own business, doing a regular day of business law, and I got a phone call from a producer at CNN, and she said that they were looking for a business law firm near a metro who could hop into the studio with 1 hour's notice and do a quick spot on CNN to cover what was then the Vioxx trial. It was a huge Vioxx jury verdict that came in from a Texas jury, and I'll never forget. Her name was Karen Rouge, and I'll just assume that, you know, I don't know if that was kind of a stage name, but
yeah.
She was fantastic, and she said, can you come in? And I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but of course I said yes. So I jumped on the metro, and I went down. I was absolutely terrified, got in front of the camera, had no idea what I was doing, but I prepped myself, and somehow I got through it without falling off my chair. And then when it was over, I was in the CNN studio, which is right off of Capitol Hill. And the producer said, well, CNN International is right across the hall here. Would you mind doing a spot on International? And I said, sure. So I went across the hall, and the second time was a little bit easier and a little bit less nerve-wracking. And then I just started to meet some of the on-air producers and just kind of got hooked. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been great. And, you know, we've since kind of expanded our footprint in media, and Declan's interviewed regularly and in print media and on the radio and so forth. So we're having a good time with it, but it's focused on what we do, which is, business and corporate law and some of the hot trends and helping to cover breaking news.
So it all started with the Northern Virginia's metro, system. So, where else would you want to be? They weren't calling other places, they were calling Northern Virginia because our metro. And now, of course, we're here in Tysons, surrounded by a bunch of other metro stations. So great place to practice law and a great place to do business, in my opinion.
Let's kind of dig into that a little bit more because, I think a lot of businesses have a great story to tell. Right. And some of them might sit around and say, you know what, I'm going to wait for that phone to ring and they're going to ask me to come in and give a spot on, this story. But looking at where we are today, just think about the transformation we've seen in business over the last couple of months. Folks are now at a point where they can create their own media. Right. So again, you think about podcasts, you think about where we are in terms of social media, marketing, things like that. Where do you see this going? If you're a business today, do you almost think that you should have your own podcast?
Yeah, I guess I'll take the first stab at that. I think when you look at technology as a way to make a connection with people, with companies, with your clients, then I think it's effective. But if you look at technology as sort of the in and of itself, I think that that's where some businesses, some lawyers, they think that it's got to be the higher tech, the better it is for some reason. And I think, a podcast studio like the one we built, it's not just great because it's got great sound quality, great soundboard, great video, all that stuff. Really what it is because when we're in there, we're able to deliver content that's relevant, that's easy to understand, and that creates a connection with our business contacts and our clients out there. So I think, you've got to always keep that connection. No matter what in the history of mankind, you're always going to have the connections. That's what always drives it.
Yeah, I think it's all about messaging and it's all about relevance. we were watching mainstream media, and this is not in any way even remotely a political statement, because I think the things that I'm saying apply to things that are happening in media on the left and the right, so it's not even remotely intended that way. But I think that we were looking at coverage through the crisis on mainstream media that was really a little bit hyperbolic, but wasn't really covering anything in terms of the front line, on the ground, boots on the ground realities of what are CEOs facing today? What are the realities? What do you need to do to be able to survive this week and this month, and how to be able to grow that to success? And then we decided that we wanted to do a Facebook Live event that was specifically covering the Paycheck Protection Program. So one led to another, and we actually have a broader program coming out shortly with broader partnerships. I think the bottom line is that the reason why it works is not because of all this fancy technology, although it's great to have it. It's because we know that when we talk to CEOs or CXOs and companies or HR executives, they're saying, you need to help me understand, what am I facing today? What are the challenges? How can I get through this? And how can I keep my costs down and revenues up? And if you can drive that and deliver that in a clear message, then you're helping people and you're helping companies.
It's really hard to fit that in an email, right?
That's right.
So let me kind of go back to this. So talking about connection. So we've talked about having that personal connection, but at the same time, let's talk about the connection here in Northern Virginia. So, you know, why do you guys choose to do business in Northern Virginia and where you do it in Tyson's Corner?
Yeah, for me, I would say, you know, in some ways it's dumb luck. I was born and raised here. I mean, here we are in Tyson's, you know, this is my home turf. I was born and raised here just about 5 or 10 minutes down the road. I still live 10 minutes down the road. It's about a 3 to 4 mile commute. Sometimes it still takes me 20 minutes, but that's okay. That's decompression time, I tell myself on my way home. So for me, this is home. Like, I just happened, it's kind of dumb luck that I happened to have been born and raised and went to law school at George Mason University, which is also a local school. And I stayed local, but I mean, being local here is like, you may as well be national, because this is really, really the heart of the business world. I've never been to Silicon Valley. I'm sure it's great, but I just think we're so fortunate to be here.
Yeah, you know, I ended up in the same place, but I took a very different route. I'm a child of the New York, New Jersey area. I grew up in North Jersey, and you know, my parents are from New York, from Brooklyn, and I was born and raised in North Jersey, and have been from there, and ended up here, and have lived here for 30 years. I have been working in Northern Virginia for about 30 years right now, and from the first moment that I started doing that and going to different firms, and now we've been here together for about 10 years, and even before that, Declan and I worked together for about 10 years, or better part of 10 years at a prior firm. I've always had my practice centered in Northern Virginia. It's always been a national and a regional practice, but I drive over the bridge every day into Northern Virginia because I think it provides unique opportunities, and it's just increasingly been more so. Look at what's been happening here in Tyson's Corner just over the last year or two. It's been a huge change. There's been a lot of construction, a lot of opportunities, and we think that Northern Virginia, it's been hot, but it's just going to continue to get hotter, and we just love being in the middle of the action. So I've been driving here for 30 years, and I'll probably do it for at least another 30.
Well, then what has your approach been over the last 10 years for building partnerships? So I think of, you share clients with a lot of other types of companies, like Russ, for example, where employee benefit advisors, we share some of the same clients. Like, how have you taken the approach of creating partners?
You know, it's interesting. I would say it's probably changed over the years in terms of our approach, and maybe it can continue to change. You know, doing the kind of things that we're doing even right now is something that perhaps we weren't doing 5 years ago. I think when we first came over here, we were doing a lot of the big networking events, the NVTC events, and those are still great, great events. But I think we have gradually shifted to a little bit more of a what I would call perhaps a little bit more intimate marketing, where, or intimate business development, where you're really like just making connections in a bit of a more intimate setting, small CEO boardroom type events and things of that nature, where that you really get to know people on a personal level. Let's face it. I mean, you know, we recognize that some people, you know, a lot of businesses don't, they're not happy or thrilled to call their lawyer. Perhaps there are other advisors.
I thought they were.
But, you know, we want to get to a point where they actually do enjoy talking to us. And so we really, you know, we pride ourselves on having long-term clients where we really get to know their businesses. I mean, we're both entrepreneurs at heart. There's no doubt about it in terms of starting our own firm, you know, and the ups and downs of that. But certainly the ups are far outweigh the downs. We like to, I tell my clients, I'd like to learn as much about them because I like to live vicariously through them. You know, it's another way of being an entrepreneur, learning about their business and not just being, you know, like so focused on one little legal issue because that's going to miss the point.
Yeah, strategic relationships are key, especially in today's market. You know, we have in recent years enjoyed a great relationship with BBG, which we consider to be one of the blue chip premier organizations, and not only in Northern Virginia, but in frankly in the entire DC region. And we have been really focused on original creative programming. I've loved walking into a big NVTC event and shaking hands and exchanging business cards. That's great. However, we also are big fans of tailored specific programming that we then create our own unique content and then reach out to executives in the region and offer that programming to them through when we open back up the building, having in-person meetings and breakfast meetings and brown bag lunches and special programming. So we just think that that's a creative way to be able to continue to reach out and help companies and executives.
I mean, you guys have also been in this area long enough. I mean, you've seen a lot of change. So, I mean, you think about even just 10 years ago, I mean, I think we met each other at an event that's now defunct, right? The entire magazine's gone under, right? You think about kind of it's interesting to kind of see where things are. And, you know, there's this whole new approach, I feel like, of, you know, there's a guy named Derek Coburn. We share a great first name, but, you know, Derek Coburn, you know, I think you know him. He started this trend of, you know, calling it unnetworking. So going to more intimate events, which is really where we find ourselves today. You know, we can create that connection through Facebook Live and webinars and podcasts and whatever else just to keep things fresh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very good friends with Derek and Melanie. They run Cadre DC. Great organization. That's one of the organizations that we're a member of. And I can't wait to be able to get to see everybody there again in person, although there are great creative virtual meetings that they're doing. But you know, you're absolutely right. And I think that one of the fun, really enjoyable things to do in this region is to ask yourself, who are the connectors? Who are the business and social connectors that you can evolve and create relationships with to be able to then create those referral relationships, original programming, and you know, we could name a small handful of them, but they've all been great. But I think that you really, part of what you need to do, especially in the Northern Virginia area, is you really need to keep your eyes and ears open for the recent developments and trends of what's going on with marketing and also on the digital front. And, Derek and Melanie are a great example of that.
And I think, you know, people have this impression of Northern Virginia of being like a really big area, very spread out and everything. But it's really, I mean, just the fact that Derek, you mentioned Derek Coburn's name and the fact that Seth knows him real well. He's in our building. He happens to be in our building just a few floors down. And it's
Washington
just, it's really, it's really with Joe DeNoyer. And it's really just a small world at the end of the day. You know, as big as the buildings, the fact that the buildings are now perhaps doubling in size as we look out our window here on Greensboro Drive and we're across from the borough and everything. But I think it still retains a lot of its sort of intimate, even small town in some respects. I mean, you go over to McLean Family Restaurant in downtown McLean, and it's amazing who you will see there. It's kind of like you call them the local, you know, the local celebrity CEOs and movers and shakers at this little place that people are like, this is what you're talking about, but it's a great place. Silver Diner is another one. So it has its spots where, you know, it's power spots that are not, you know, that are not intimidating at the end of the day. So it's kind of cool.
And I don't think that people in DC who are primarily focused in DC or even necessarily aware of that. I mean, look, DC is awesome. It's a fun place where you can do 1,000 different things. But there's a business culture to Northern Virginia that's growing in a really exciting way. And if you can continue to stay plugged into that, you know, just look at it, for example, from the federal sector. There's so much going on in the federal space here.
Yeah, government contracting.
And when we do our programming and we talk about PPP, we spend time dividing that out into the federal space because there are special provisions in the federal space for how to deal with those kinds of issues where you need to speak that language too. And there's really no better place as far as we're concerned than to be centered for that than doing business in Northern Virginia.
Thinking about federal versus non-federal, like what is your breakdown amongst your client base? And is that pretty indicative of what we see in DC? And just tell us a little bit, if you can, like, what do you think are like maybe the biggest considerations for each of those market segments moving forward?
I would say from a client base, we're probably about 60% government contractors, 40%, you know, regular commercial as well as executives in the area. You know, and I think that that's probably indicative of, you know, being here and you really can't throw a rock out the window and not hit like a contractor being, you know, being in this area. But, you know, a lot of times they have government contract specific issues. And a lot of times some of the stuff is just, you're like, it doesn't matter that they're a government contractor. At the end of the day, if they have an employment issue, there are some special things that come into play when it comes to government contracting, of course. But it's also, you know, a personnel issue is a personnel issue and you've got to walk them through it. And they're looking to, you know, preserve their workforce as best they can, even in the face of, you know, a tricky personnel issue. So, you know, I would say while that 60-40 might capture it, I think really we look at it as kind of one big, you know, kind of business model.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you look at everything, when you look at it in terms of from a client-based perspective, I was going to probably end up somewhere between 55 and 60%. I agree on the federal side. But when you really look at it on a week-to-week and a month-to-month basis in terms of the subject matter, it's really very much split. It's pretty much a level set playing field because, you know, on the one hand, we absolutely cover the federal areas that you have to be ready to cover. If somebody has a very specific FAR issue, you got to get that on the phone and tee it up and answer the latest headache with your contracting officer or COTAR. However, regardless of whether the company's in the federal space or not, they're going to have contract issues. They're going to have HR issues. They're going to have litigation issues, litigation avoidance issues. And you've got to be ready to get teed up as a specialist and a generalist. And the best way to be able to have a relationship of trust and confidence with your clients is for them to realize that if they have a problem and they pick up the phone, you've got their back.
I think that's a good point too. I mean, you talk about before, you mentioned staying relevant, right? You have to be relevant to that business in the area that they're in today, because we could be in a very different spot, let's say a week or two from now than we were yesterday, right? So thinking about that and thinking about being that strategic partner that's aligned with those clients, what are some of the things, like the biggest takeaways you'd have for a business today? If I'm a business owner and I'm listening to this, what should I be taking away from that conversation? I mean, I almost hear it when, the way you mentioned it, I mean, I would like to think of it that if I have an attorney that I trust, I can call them with anything. Is that a fair assessment?
And I think that that is so true and so critical. And it's still, I'm still surprised when I meet a business client and they're interviewing us to bring us on board as their attorneys. And I say, well, who have you used up until this point? And the answer is really, well, no one really. We had a friend of a friend of a friend. And I'm just like, you know, that is really dismaying to me. I went to Mosaic and had dinner on Saturday night, and it was nice to see a lot of people out and about. And there's a great restaurant over there, and I won't name it, but I was talking to one of the owners, and I said, how have you been doing? You know, I love hearing their experience. You know, how have you been doing, and how have you been surviving during this crisis? And, you know, it was really, really sad to hear. She said, you know, we're really just hanging on by a thread. And I said, well, have you, you know, gotten your PPP funds in order to help pay rent, offset the cost of your labor and everything? And she said, well, no, not yet. And it's still in process and everything. And I just was like, I gave her my card and I said, look, I'll help you for free because honestly, I want to see you survive. We can talk about, you know, when you're thriving, we can then talk about, you know, using us in more of a pay fee model. But I said, it was really just kind of, to me, how she did not have a trusted advisor already. You know, the businesses at this time have to be talking to each other. They got to know everything. Maybe it's hard to follow a lot of the regulations that are coming out with regard to the Paycheck protection program, but you got to get out there and you got to know it. Nobody can put their head under a rock at this time. And I feel like there are some businesses still out there that have done that. And they owe it to their employees and they owe it to their customers to really be a lot more proactive.
Yeah, I would add to that very strongly to say that I completely agree. I would say be proactive to look and plan ahead. And what I mean by that is, you know, yes, you have to navigate through today's headaches, but you also have to reach forward to tomorrow's goals. Companies should be thinking about what can they do to preserve their valuation and to make sure that they have a cost down, revenues up approach today and tomorrow and for next month. If they think that they want to think about, for example, being involved in the M&A space, a lot of CEOs, a lot of CXOs like to talk about, you know, transactional opportunities in the buy and sell side. Well, you know, the thing that really amazes me is that these companies have diamonds. They have intellectual property diamonds. They have people who are amazing employees and amazing executives. These are diamonds, but they're diamonds that are really held in a crumpled paper bag rather than in a velvet box. And it doesn't take a lot of time and effort and resources to fix those contracts, reorganize those operating agreements, get those prime and subcontracts together, and just to start to put the stuff together so that the plumbing is right. I mean, if we're living in a house and it's a very pretty house, but the plumbing is leaking, you want to make sure that you have all the pieces in place and kind of all the carburetors tucked into the engine, so to speak. So my advice to executives is to just lean forward and just get the basic things in place now when, other than when it's a rainy day. There's this old saying of the best time to repair your roof is when it's sunny outside and not when it's raining. And, you know, getting things done proactively in the business world is a lot easier when the sun is shining. So I love that story about, you know, helping somebody to get through the crisis, but reach forward from that and also continue to make sure that everything's together so that you can survive but thrive.
Yeah. I think, you know, the one part I come back to on some of this is we keep on coming back to like where we are today, right? And everyone's kind of been, you know, taking a little bit of wind out of their sails over the last couple of months, I feel like, because, you know, it's sad. I mean, you're spending time at home, you know, you're maybe not able to get out to your favorite restaurant and you almost start to wonder if it's still going to be open, you know, like things like that. So where do we go from here in terms of where Northern Virginia sits? So we know that we've got a great federal space and the government typically is going to do a great job at keeping those businesses going. But if I'm a commercial business today, what are my next steps? I mean, is it as simple as making a phone call or, you know, you talk about, you know, expenses down, revenue up. You know, how do I do that when people aren't going out spending money? What are some things you want to recommend there?
Well, I mean, I think right now, I mean, companies have been in a cash preservation mode, and rightly so. Federal government has come in and is helping to, you know, provide some capital to weather the storm, but nobody should be sitting home right now. I mean, I recognize if you know, the hospitality industry is one of them in particular, of course, but, you know, we've seen some unbelievable efforts and creativity with a lot of, you know, there's a restaurant down the street in Vienna, great, great restaurant. Seth and I went there the other day, very well regarded and everything. And, you know, and it's definitely what I would call a foodie restaurant, meaning it's like high end, it's for people with discerning taste. And they very easily could have just said, you know what, we're just shutting down during this until we can get back up. We're not doing takeout. Takeout is beneath us because we're so high caliber that, you know, takeout just doesn't translate well. Instead, what they did was they came up with this great plan where they basically allowed tailgating in the parking lot. They had families come. The parents would get the good food. The kids would get like fast food down the street. And the loyalty that they have built, I mean, those are the companies, in my opinion, the businesses that are going to thrive. Anybody that was just sitting around and saying, woe is me, I have no money, I just hate to say it, but those are going to be tough ones from a resilience standpoint. I hope that they all survive. But I'm most proud of the ones that continue to build brand loyalty and customer loyalty during this time frame.
Yeah, I think entrepreneurship tied in with customer loyalty is the way to go right now. I've seen stories of executives that have pivoted and made, you know, decisions to be able to lean into more of a different personalized work environment. I've seen just coincidentally in the food space, a company that was a supplier to restaurants. And then, of course, if your customers are restaurants, well, you can imagine that it's just decimated. But what this company decided to do was to create a serve-at-home business where they changed their online platform and they changed a model where now they're actually serving food to families at home, and they're doing safe delivery and you know, contactless drop-off. They've created such a revenue stream from that now that when the restaurants are opening, they actually have to double their staff. Going into more of a technology or GovCon space, I see executives that are looking ahead to see what they want to bid on, to be able to explain and to focus, you know, where their efforts are going to be for the next things that are coming up. It's just about staying agile, preserving your capital, understanding what the rules are and how to use it to your advantage. And also, and I think this is very important, how to stay relevant digitally. Stay relevant digitally. Continue to communicate, whether you have a studio in your office or whether there's someone in Northern Virginia that wants to look into using ours or what have you. How can you continue to communicate not only internally with your employees to continue to have them be connected within the company, but how can you connect with your customer base? How can you continue to create relevant programming during this time to be in the studio with a customer and to have relevant digital programming so that you can stay out ahead of people? You know, a lot of people are home right now. A lot of people have their laptops. What are you doing to stay on LinkedIn? What are you doing to be able to stay digitally agile and relevant? And I think there are some companies that are doing a great job of that right now, but I would encourage that thought process as well.
Well, we're talking about being proactive and high energy right now, but then Derek and I talk about this very often, is how it's really easy to like go down with the energy that we feel in the environment. So what are your recommendations on staying proactive? Because it's really difficult to, you know, we're doing this podcast to do stay active on LinkedIn, social media. It's difficult to do that when the world around you seems like it's, you know, very calm and quiet, and it's easy to not maybe work the extra couple of hours. How do you keep up that high energy in this environment?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really reaching out to your customers. We've been doing what we call check-ins with our clients. Nothing more than, hey, how's it going? How are you and your family faring in this tough time? And is there any questions or anything that we can do to help? We're not really looking to drum up business. We're plenty busy here at the firm, but it just kind of shows that we care. So many times lawyers, you know, only get a phone call from the client when it's really kind of the bad news. But, you know, sometimes they like to be contacted themselves, you know, the other way around and just doing a check-in that way. So I think proactively, you know, sometimes it means turning off, you know, the cable TV and turning off the news, because it's very easy to get disillusioned that the sky is falling. And, you know, one thing that's been great these last few months is we can personally attest that the business machine is still going, the business cycle is still going, because we're talking to clients every day and they've become agile and they've become nimble and they're keeping their businesses afloat. And they're doing so by talking to their trusted advisors. They're doing so by talking to other business owners. You know, in some ways, it's brought companies together in a strange way. So I think that's been one positive development.
One of the things that I would add to that is an issue under deployment of capital. We've talked about how companies internally should be understanding how to use the rules and the resources to preserve capital internally. But there's a lot of capital sitting in the sidelines right now externally. There is a backlog of deals that have been put on hold. Some of the companies have used exit clauses to be able to get out. You know, we spend a lot of time, and I spend a lot of time, especially when, you know, we're able to get out and about and socialize either at breakfast meetings or at dinner or wine gatherings, and talking to executives. M&A opportunities, growth opportunities on the buy and sell side are always a part of what's on our mind. I can report based upon some of the transactional companies that we work with that there is a lot of capital on the sidelines right now. And there are people that are really looking for great opportunities to work with great companies and great executives in the Washington metropolitan area. So in terms of staying positive and focusing forward, there's a lot of companies in the M&A space that are keeping their powder dry. And as soon as we get through phase 2 and phase 3, there's a lot of activity that's going to happen. And there's the old saying, you know, make sure you're at the table and that you're not the dinner that people are ordering. So, you know, one of the things that I would tell to business leaders is think about how you can work with your professional advisors, not even just your business lawyers, but all of your professional advisors in terms of thinking about what do you want to do within the next 2 to 3 years? And are you interested from an M&A profile standpoint? Because now is a great time. What's the most effective use for deployment of capital and to focus on, you know, making sure that you polish that diamond and put it in a velvet box? Because capital's on the sidelines and there's a lot of activity that's going to be happening in that space, especially in the second half of this year.
Well, it's always a conversation we come back to, right? If we're talking about stocks, it's, you know, timing the market versus time in the market. So if I'm in the market today, is it an opportunity right now where you'd say, hey, look, just wait? Or are you going to start to have those conversations now? Because again, there is that capital there. If I'm a business and I'm concerned about the uncertainty, do I start to take on some of that outside money or start to have a conversation about a transaction now? Or would you recommend just holding for the foreseeable future?
I would encourage conversations, but I would do that in conjunction with professional providers to make sure that your financials are tight, that you're able to use funds aside from PPP to pay down debt, use your PPP funds. Let's focus, for example, on small businesses as related under the SBA and Treasury regs, which is within 500 employees. You take that money. You use it for that designated purpose so that the loan becomes a grant, and then you can accumulate other cash to manage debt and then get your other assets deployed. Now, I think, is a good time to start thinking about doing that, because even if you are going to need some time to put that together, you'll probably want to be looking at a 12 to 18 month horizon at a minimum anyway. And the other thing that I would say, which is a related point, is that we're living in an environment right now where I think business executives, business owners, HR professionals need to be self-reliant and need to be able to understand how to be able to find answers in the digital space and how to be able to team with the right people to get it done. You know, we've had some great help from Washington, and Congress has stepped up and provided two rounds of PPP. But again, this is a 100% apolitical statement. But I think we've seen that when Washington helps, they can come in quickly and get it done. But I don't think that we can count on that. I don't think that we can necessarily count on the government coming in and doing a lot more for us. I think we need to be self-reliant. And we have a lot of resources here in Northern Virginia. So if we focus and work together as a group and work with your professional advisors, the sky's the limit.
Cool. So we'll wrap it on this one. So question for you both. Number one, where is the firm headed? So where are you guys 5 years from now? Where do you see Northern Virginia 5 years from now?
Well, so I'll talk about the firm. You know, we talk about this a lot. We feel like we're in a really good place right now. And so I think we've always sort of had cautious growth, but deliberate growth. So we don't, again, chase the shiniest object. We're very sort of protective of our culture in terms of who we bring in and how we add. And so I could see us continuing to add to our great team here to make sure that when clients use us, you know, it's an overused cliche, the one-stop shop. But, you know, I mean, when our experience is when clients really like a firm that they use, and we've been fortunate to have very loyal clients over the years, they just want to continue to use you. They don't, you know, I know there's a lot of, there are businesses that like to silo their advisors. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just say, listen, you better hope that the left hand knows what the right hand's doing, because so many of these decisions are not just, oh, here's an employment law issue. Oh, here's an IP issue. They all overlap in our experience, and particularly in the government contracts realm. When I see firms out there who are employment law firms that don't know anything about government contractors and the specifics of the FAR provisions, and yet they're giving employment law advice, I mean, you have to know how all of these overlap. You don't have to be necessarily a total specialist in it, but you've got to be able to know issue identification and to know, this might have a specific, thing. So I could see us adding some additional business stuff, maybe a little bit deeper in real estate, a little bit deeper in tax, things of that nature. But we've got a great team right now. We're able to cover a whole lot. So we don't feel any real compelling reason to make any kind of a seismic shift.
Yeah, I would add to that and say that I think we'll continue to stay agile, continue to own an initiative and in helping to grow things in the also not only in the core of our meat and potatoes with corporate M&A, GovCon, labor and employment law, HR, but to also staying true to the core of being a business law firm, but also owning things digitally and digital agility to be able to help the firm and its clients continue to communicate and stay online and stay on the air. As far as the region itself goes, I'm a big believer in Northern Virginia, and I'll just focus for the moment on Tysons. I think Tysons is going to have a major uptrend. While I understand the pundits and saying that commercial real estate is going to take a hit in the short term, I understand. But in the intermediate and longer term, I think that people are going to continue to come. Companies are going to continue to come. We have a couple of clients that are going to be leaving areas like Leesburg and Woodbridge and so forth, which are also great areas. And they're coming to Tysons Corner. Maybe other companies can use the current circumstance to negotiate, a little bit of a better deal with the landlord. But it's coming. And we have the borough right across the street from our office here, for example, that people are moving in and things are opening. So I think that trend's going to continue. I don't think that it's going to be a setback. It may take a little bit more time, but as long as you continue to own the future and have a game plan, I think Northern Virginia is really where the action is going to continue to be.
And I would just add one more thing. I don't know if we talked about this yet, but one of the things that Northern Virginia also offers, which is critical in our legal space, is a really, really effective and efficient and, for the most part, business-friendly judicial system, court system. Mm-hmm. We're here in Fairfax County. The Fairfax County Circuit Court, the largest of the court systems in Virginia, I believe it's the largest. It really is just very efficient. The judges are top-notch. Our former law partner is a judge there, a circuit court judge. And we also have the federal court down in Alexandria, which is nationally known as the Rocket Docket because of its brevity in terms of resolving cases. And, some of these cases in other jurisdictions can sit for years. And, the old saying, justice delayed is justice denied, really is the case. I mean, especially in business law, you get situations where employees leave and you no longer can, you no longer even have these witnesses to defend a case or to bring a case, whichever it may be. So the Rocket Docket, having that court here. I mean, we are strong proponents when we represent our clients. Let's make sure you're a Virginia company. Let's make sure you have a choice of law provision that foots back to Virginia, even if you have employees that are spread out over the country. And let's make sure the forum selection, meaning wherever a dispute needs to be brought, let's make sure it's here in Alexandria Federal Court or one of the circuit courts locally here in Northern Virginia, because that is a huge competitive advantage that we have over perhaps just our neighboring jurisdictions.
That's such a great point. And it wasn't something that I was thinking about, but I would just very enthusiastically agree in that there are some companies around here that if there was one pointer that I would end with, just following along on that point, which is so important. If there's an executive listening to this, go over to your contracts next week and then ask yourself two questions. One, does it even have a litigation clause for a regional court, or does it have an arbitration clause? I will say arbitration clauses, in our view, with all due respect, and there are phenomenal judges and organizations like the McCammon Group, amazing. But our approach is get rid of your arbitration clauses. And secondly, do you have local courts here, federal court in Alexandria and or circuit court in Fairfax? Because they're very fast, they're very quick, they're very polished. And that in and of itself is going to help you save fees in terms of having to deal with disputes. So that's one of the many other reasons why doing business right here is very helpful from a business perspective.
Well, hopefully other than marriage certificates, no one has a need to go to the courthouse, but we know who they can call if they do. Yeah. So thank you guys. It's always a pleasure. I know you guys are great and appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Jessica and Derek. We really appreciate it. We really enjoyed it. And this is a great idea to have this podcast focus on Northern Virginia.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, and if people want to follow you, I know you said you don't need more clients, but but if someone wants to follow you on Facebook Live, I know you're really active there. Where do you want us to direct them?
I guess what I would say is, our firm's website, www.baronswyglaw.com, and that pretty much has all the information there. You can reach us by email, reach us by phone, all of our social media. What are we on? Your Twitter,
Facebook. Well, not really Facebook per se, as much as Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube, and looking forward to seeing everybody on social media, and feel free to visit the website.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in. You can listen to this episode and subscribe to future episodes on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give us that 5-star review so that we can get our podcast out to more and more listeners. If you are a business leader or know of any business leaders that you would like to nominate to be a guest on the show, please visit us at thenovabusinesspodcast.com.